Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, the 12th chapter, beginning with the 12th verse. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would make it no less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a member of the part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the organs in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single organ, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say, amen. There was a guy who stopped at the grocery store on the way to work. He stopped because it was his boss's birthday, and he was going to get him a nice gift. So he got a Premier Dutch apple pie, and on the box it said $19. He was thinking certainly the boss would be impressed with how much he's going to spend on this Premier Dutch apple pie. So as he gets in the line and it's his time to check out, though, he begins to have second thoughts about leaving that price tag on there, and he asks the guy behind the counter, that would seem kind of tacky, wouldn't it, for me to have that price tag on it? Guy behind the counter says, don't worry about it. I'll just cover it up with a sticker. Today we're beginning a new series of sermons that focus on our identity. And there are a lot of times when maybe others and maybe even we ourselves question our worth. But for the next 4 weeks, I want to talk about what God says about our identity in Christ. And so that's why I have that you're in. The in reminds us of our identity in Christ. Each sermon will begin with the letter in. So next Sunday, I'm going to talk about in Christ, you're invited. After that, I'm going to talk about in Christ, you're influential. And after that, I'm going to talk about in Christ, you're invested. And each time that I ask the questions, each Sunday, I'm going to come up to you and I'm going to ask you this. Are you in? And here's a response I'd like for us all to say. I'm in Christ. Okay? So I'm going to ask you now. Are you in? I'm in Christ. One more time. Are you in? I'm in Christ. Well, what I want to talk about today, about who you are in Christ, is I want to say that you are invaluable. You are invaluable in Jesus Christ. Now, invaluable does not mean that you have no value. It's the opposite. It means that you are uniquely valuable to God. It means you are beyond calculation, beyond price. It means that no one would sell you because they wouldn't be able to get back what you are actually worth. You are invaluable. I want to say this, you're invaluable as an individual. Jesus tells a parable about a shepherd who has 100 sheep, and one of those sheep gets lost, and the shepherd decides that he's going to do what? Leave the 99 and go out and search for that one sheep. So imagine this. I've got 100 ties, and it's probably true. I probably only bought 10 of them myself, but being a pastor, what happens is that people, when they stop wearing ties, they end up giving you their ties. So I probably have 100 ties. If I lost one of those ties, you know what? To be honest, it probably would not be that big a deal. But I have three children, okay? If one of my children got lost and I'm thinking, where is Becca? Where is Becca? I would never say, well, you know what? It doesn't matter. I've got two other kids. So who cares where Becca is? I would never say that, right? Because Becca's not a tie. She's not an inanimate object. She is of intrinsic value to me. She's of incredible worth to me because of who she is. Can I tell you another reason why? Because she's created in my image and likeness. You're invaluable as an individual, but also you're invaluable because you are created with a purpose. You are purposely supposed to live out the image of Jesus Christ. You're created to make a difference in your family, in your community, in your church. And let me just pause to say, this is one of those messages that is sometimes hard to preach. And here's the reason why it's hard to preach it, because we don't really believe it that much. We love to hear about other people's purposes, other people's gifts, but when it comes to ourselves, we begin to doubt that God really have a plan or a purpose for me. See, there's others who can sing better or who can give better or who can pray better or preach better, and we begin to believe this lie, and here's what the lie says. If I weren't here, it wouldn't make much of a difference. This is a lie because you are invaluable to God. You have been uniquely created in the image and likeness of God with gifts and graces for the kingdom of God. You know that when God created you, God chose to place you at this time. All the world, in this time, you were created. That means that you were created for such a time as this. Let me also say you are invaluable to the body of Christ. You're invaluable to the body of Christ. In our scripture lesson, Paul uses a metaphor of a body to talk about how valuable you are. And he says that a body has many parts, and all of them are important. He says it this way in 1 Corinthians 12:12. For just as the body is what? One, has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, they are what? One body. Then he says, so it is with Christ. You have eyes and ears and a mouth and a nose, head and shoulders, knees and toes, okay? Sorry about that. You all have so many different unique parts of your own body, but each one of them are important. And it's the same thing true with the body of Christ. I wanna do something with you here. Let's have a little bit of fun. I'm gonna show you some pictures of animals, and we're gonna say the name of the animal by itself, but then when you put the animals together, I want you to tell me what they're called as a group, okay? So here's the first one. That's a lion, right? And what are a group of lions called? Ah, you guys got it. A pride of lions. Okay, here's the next one. So this is an elephant, and a group of elephants is called a? Okay, not as confident, but you're right, a herd of elephants, okay? The next one is crows. What's a group of crows called? Murder of crows. Okay, I don't know what I heard over here, but murder of crows, that's right. The next is donkeys. What are a group of donkeys called? Wait a minute, be careful here. We're in the church. Be careful. Be careful. What are they called? Droves. That's right. A droves of donkeys, right? Jerry Russell scared me. I didn't want Jerry to yell out, you know, just anything out there, right? Here's what I want you to say, though. It's kind of interesting that the identity of the animal changes when they are together. And it's the same thing that's true with us. See, by ourselves, our identity is that we are followers of Christ. We are Christians. But when we are put together, our identity changes and we become the church or the body of Christ. There is something that happens when we come together. when we are placed in this time, in this place, to do something special. And what happens is we become the hands of God as we serve others. We become the feet of God as we take the gospel to others. We become the mouth of God when we preach the good news. We become the heart of God when we care about those that the world pushes to the margins. You are the body of Christ. You are an invaluable part of that body. And anytime the enemy tries to tell you that you're not important, you tell him who you are. Let me see if you can remember it. Are you in? I'm in Christ. Are you in? I'm in Christ. See, sometimes the enemy who will try to tell us about what we're not, sometimes that enemy comes from the outside, but sometimes that enemy's voice comes from deep within ourselves. Look at what it says in the scripture in verses 15 and 16. If the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. Paul is talking about maybe envy or insecurity or self-doubt. I got a kick out of imagining the ear doing the complaining about not being the eye. Everybody loves the eye. Nobody likes the ear. People are always sticking their fingers. No one ever says that someone is the apple of their ear. No one ever has ear-to-ear conversations. No one ever loves someone and stares longingly into their ears. It's not fair. Because I'm not the eye, I quit. I'm done. I think that sometimes it's the most underlooked parts of the body that are so important. My wife, she once got a crystal that went loose in her ear canal. And this crystal, this tiny crystal, goes around and it causes all kind of havoc, because the ear not only is in charge of us hearing, but it also helps with our what? Balance. So here my wife is, and she can see, but it doesn't make any bit of difference when that ear was messed up. She spends the whole day lying in bed. What I'm trying to say is that sometimes the invisible part, or the part that's not so up front and getting all the attention, is one of the most important parts that we've got. Just because we're not up front in the body of Christ, it doesn't mean that we're not an invaluable part of the church. Do you know that there are invisible prayer warriors? There's a group of 12 or 13 who gather each Wednesday at noon and pray for the concerns of the church and community, and your name has been on their lips. You might be an invisible worker here at the church. Sometimes I drive by the church when no one else is here, and I'll drive by and I'll look, and there's Bill Hayward, and he's policing the parking lot and picking up trash. After service, after you all leave, and when you forget to take your bulletins or you drop your papers, do you know what? Elaine Etchison and Fanny, they come by and invisible. They clean up after you. I'm sure they would like for you to pick up your own bulletin, but they do that. Just because what you do is not visible, it doesn't mean that it's not an invaluable part of the kingdom of God. What you do, who you are, is important to the body. When you're not here, when you're not using your talents, the church is incomplete. Has this ever happened to you? You've ever gone to sleep? You go to sleep and you wake up, but one part of your body doesn't wake up? You know what I mean? You slept on your arm funny, and the circulation stopped, and the blood didn't go through the right way. So you're awake, but your arm is tingling, and it's like temporarily paralyzed, and you can't even use it very well at all. Well, you're part of the body of Christ, but if you're not using your gifts that God's given you, if you're not living out your calling, then you are asleep, and you need to be waking up. Do me a favor. I want you to go and tap the person beside you, and I want you to tell them, wake up! Wake up! Wake up, because God needs you. Something isn't getting done without you. Wake up! Because God wants you to reach someone who's not being reached. Wake up! Because when you're not doing your job, others are working harder. Wake up! You might be thinking, Pastor, but you don't know my past. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. Let me tell you something. Often your past doesn't disqualify you from being used by God, but your past can even prepare you to be used in a special way by God. I have a friend I went to college with who used to be addicted to drugs, and now his church is doing an addiction ministry, and he's one of the leaders of it. There was a lady who used to be a prostitute, and now she's part of a ministry that encourages sex workers to quit. You might be thinking, I'm divorced. Well, guess what? That doesn't disqualify you. That means you are uniquely prepared to help other people heal. You know what they're going through. Your past doesn't disqualify you. Your past can be used to help prepare you for what God is calling. There was a guy who stopped at the grocery store before going into work because it was his boss's birthday. He wanted to get the boss a gift. And so he goes and he gets a premier Dutch apple pie. And right on the top of the box, it says $19. And he's thinking, the boss is really going to know that I kind of spent some money for this. Feeling good about it until he gets to the checkout line. And then he starts to have second thoughts. And he says, you know what? That might be a little tacky. The guy behind the counter says, I don't worry about it. I'll cover it up with a sticker. So he arrives at work. And proudly takes a premier Dutch apple pie out of the bag and places it before the boss. And the boss says, oh, wow, until he looks and sees the sticker that says 99 cents day old special. The world might not know your real worth. You might not even know your real worth, but God knows that you are invaluable in Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen.